I think we can probably get going. I'd like to call our meeting to order since we have quorum.
Can you hear? Okay.
I can hear you guys.
Okay.
Okay, great. And we can just do a quick round of introductions. We'll start here in the room. Jocelyn Pease, UAB Chair.
John Miller on the UAB.
Jeremy Rodriguez, UAB.
Tony Larson, UAB.
Eric Leyes, City of West Lynn.
Jeff Stallard, UAB.
Dean Wood, UAB.
So our first item of business is approval of the summary notes from August of this year. Have folks had a chance to review those summary notes?
Yes, they were sent out. I've had an opportunity to review.
Does anyone have any changes to the notes or corrections?
I don't have any. I guess just a general question. I thought felt like we had a pretty candid conversation about what we could do around the ballot measure and other things like that. And I didn't feel like that was captured very well in the notes. I don't recall. I mean, it's been quite a while ago, but I don't recall all of the conversation. But it was just, I don't think it really matters per se, but I guess if we're making meeting notes, I just appreciate if they kind of capture the tenor and tone of whatever conversations we have. So at least it's documented what we're talking about. Just a general thought for moving forward.
Yeah, I think my recollection, others can fill in if I'm not remembering all of it. I thought we had sort of teed up that issue as to what's the appropriate role for UAB to have in connection with the bond. And I think a lot of the conversation ended up, or a lot of the follow-up happened to be email.
Yeah, I think, and sorry about that, Jeff. I'm not sure if it was, sometimes I record these meetings, but for whatever reason, when I go back to do the minutes, it doesn't come through or something gets corrupted. Or so a lot of times they're just going off my chicken scratch notes, but I do recall talking about it, but I kind of remember a lot of the ballot measure discussion, what to do, what not to do, felt like it was via email. But I do see what you mean. I mean, we had a lengthy meeting, so you just have a couple sentences on that. It does seem a little bit lacking, so I can definitely make a note, and hopefully I did hit record this time, so hopefully it'll work.
Okay, so to reflect that in the minutes then, when we're talking about the agenda item for the 205 waterline update, we could perhaps add that the UAB members sought advice regarding the appropriate role for UAB in connection with the bond. I don't think we'd reflect in the meeting minutes that the follow-up happened later via email.
If you'll recall too, is that we were looking at trying to schedule a meeting like a month after this August meeting, and that was it was not recommended.
Yeah. So would you say you're approving the minutes with
a modification to reflect that there was discussion around the role for UAB members in connection with the bond?
Okay.
Thanks. And I apologize, I'm not able to be there in person. My son's got a fever, and I'm just trying to steer clear of folks just to make sure.
Shoot, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah. I sent a message to Dean. I think 20% of the Trillium Creek primary is out sick, so I'm one of many. I had to go to 4 stores to find Tylenol for my kid today, though. I will say that was frustrating.
If you're in a pinch, we have some.
Oh, no, I found it. It just took me a number of stores, so not a big deal.
So the corrections or amendments would be discussion about ballot measure and what. Say again.
I think what role the UAB should have in connection with the ballot measure.
Hi, Todd. Nice to see you.
I apologize for being late.
Councilor Jones has joined us. So. Well, that's good to see you. We're just discussing, we're on the approval of August meeting notes. So, and it was made mention that summary notes don't quite go into the detail that we discussed about the role of UAB in the ballot measure. So if you're looking to make a motion to approve.
Well, and I wanted to, I think with Jeff being the person that raised the concern and wanted to ask if reflecting that modification in the meeting minutes seems right, or if you think there's more that we should say there.
No, I think that seems right. I just wanted it reflected that we did ask and we did talk about it and kind of where we, you know, just for the record's sake. But I think adding that would be just fine.
I have one. I don't think Mike Gates, I mean, this is a real small thing. But I don't think Mike Gates, I think he resigned last December.
Yeah.
He was off before.
I mean, I talked to him. I met with Mike at Market of Choice, actually. So he would not have been up on the board in August.
Yeah, I want to.
That is correct.
I think you're right. I don't think he even. Yeah, good catch. So we'll make. What's the best way to do this? Make the addition corrections, send them out approval, or just.
The way I've done it in other settings is to, I mean, we've talked about the corrections to the minutes. We understand what they will be. And so someone would make a motion to approve the minutes as modified in accordance with our discussion today.
That is my question. And then approve them with modification.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess with that, do folks have any other corrections or should we entertain a motion?
I was also not present at the meeting. I don't know this, but.
Well.
Oh.
That's the 7th missing person right there. Jeremy is.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that Mike for Jeremy? Jeremy for Mike.
I should have caught that.
All right.
Anybody else? You got Tony.
I got nothing.
Okay. All right. I would move to approve the minutes as modified in our discussion today.
I'm going to abstain.
Okay.
Because I wasn't there.
Abstain as well, don't you
think? Same.
I'll second that motion. This is Jeff. I was there.
Even enough of us voting to have that carry, only 3 of us.
Yep, so we need a quorum.
Robert's rule that you really want to go there.
I don't have my pocket guide.
So yes, you should have a quorum to approve that.
What is it? So we have 1, 2, 3. And 3 abstentions, is that correct?
We would need to guess.
4.
TJ is not here to also be voting. Okay, so can we, I guess, defer approval of these minutes until we meet next year?
This is going to add to the complaint, another layer of complaint.
And then we'll get a chance to review the corrections.
That's right.
Yeah. Did anybody hear from TJ? He's going to be here. I feel like he came a little bit late last time, but.
Yeah, I spoke to TJ about 15 minutes ago, and he had a conflicting meeting tonight at 6.
Okay. Text him back and tell him we need his vote. All right, so we'll clean these up, bring them back.
Okay, so our next agenda item, moving to the business portion of our agenda, is the annual report to the council. And I outlined a few notes for that, which are captured in an email that I sent around last night, and we have print copies here in the room. I don't know if folks have had a chance to take a look at it, and if there's anything that you'd like to add, or I will say no pride of authorship here. We'll take revisions if folks want to say things a little bit differently, or have other ideas to contribute, or things that I think we want to say it exactly like that. Yes, with that, I'd open it up for discussion. Or take a quick moment to let people read.
Well, I think your comment from, like, with respect to the challenges, I kind of echo your second point in that it felt like there, from a challenge, there was a lack of information available with respect to overall funding and funding requirements, without, you know, and how the pipeline, the new pipeline under the bridge, fits within our overall, you know, capital improvement plan, and understanding that the water master plan is, you know, probably a year before being delivered from now. Hard to kind of connect the dots and on how kind of the capital plan fits in.
I would agree. I guess I would just say the only information I have related to that, and of course I was only at the August meeting as the new member, was Lance's email he shot out right after that, kind of identifying what he saw as the near-term projects or the next coming year projects. So I would agree there is a disconnect there between that and what the information we have.
Yeah, I feel like between the, you know, the reports we've been given from finance as to what the budget is and what projects were kind of on the horizon, I would agree that there's kind of a general lack of understanding as what the priority is for projects in the city, because it sounds like we were already putting out fires, and now we're just focusing on putting out big fires, and we still have fires burning everywhere. So not that it was necessarily intention, but I felt like the email was kind of a shot over the bow, kind of well, we didn't get it, so this is what's going to happen. You know, as a citizen, that was frustrating, that I felt like maybe the because the priorities weren't laid out there, if we didn't know, citizens didn't know. If citizens don't know, what happens? What if we don't pass this? What happens? Mm-hmm. My discussions with lots of people was that there was more options to explore, not that all options had been exhausted, and this is what happens if we vote no. It's that lack of kind of information, I think, what was frustrating a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think one thing that was challenging, and it's just, I think, really a function of timing, is not having the new master plan to inform any of that. And it's not like that's, I think, necessarily anyone's fault, like, as far as like that, not that information not being shared. It's just, you know, it's, we have this immediate need for funding and then a long range need for funding, which we don't quite know what it is, or I'm assuming at this point, right, that we don't have greater certainty around that. So it's really hard to put that together into a cohesive message. So, and then I think the other piece too was, I feel like even in some of the follow-up emails that we were getting around, like, what's appropriate for UAP members to do or not do, like, I was getting some mixed signals as to when it might be appropriate to wear a UAB hat and say something about the bond versus not. So I think that the general direction was that we shouldn't be out there. But I thought sort of at the 11th hour, we also received a communication saying maybe it was okay. And I felt that that point was maybe too late.
I mean, my own mom wrote a letter of opposition for this, and I didn't feel like I could convey seriousness of things, because I just felt like she's somebody who's been involved in the community for years. If she didn't understand that there were no other options, and how do we expect the average everyday citizen to kind of understand the dire need? I think there was a consensus out there that ODOT should be doing more, because nobody was really, I don't know for a fact, but I'm assuming that people weren't told what they were doing, the heavy lifting that was being done on their part, that it was just, oh, well, Westland was going to pay for all of that. So I don't know if that would have been helpful. I think it certainly couldn't hurt, but.
Well, and there's a, it's kind of a, an offshoot of this discussion too, and something maybe moving forward is, you know, thinking through some of these major decisions, understanding what our efforts are with respect to community outreach and messaging for some of these projects. Appropriately, so that, you know, it's not just a ballot measure that pops up that folks don't really understand. So I think there's some messaging that, you know, as the advisory board, that we could help support that to the community, and whether or not that's through the website or, you know, flyer, newspaper, water bill, whatever that vehicle is, and you know what lever we can pull, I think making sure that we get that message out moving forward is probably an important step for all of us, on especially how we're funding projects moving forward. That's going to be reflected through you know, water bill, utility bill increases, or maybe it's another future bond measure to do catch up work, or whatever shape that takes. But there is a strategic communications piece that is going to have to be, I think, in my opinion, thought through, and that again, us as board members can help support.
Yeah. All right. Do you have anything to?
Thank you. Yeah. Fully agree with what you just said. There was no organized support for the measure, but more importantly, there was an inadequate job of explaining the measure, irrespective of whether you support it or not. I think that we relied on the measure to explain itself, and that was a mistake. We did not put
information together in the voter's pamphlet or in the community saying, whether you vote yes or no, here are the implications of a no. Here we are. Now, I don't know if you're going to move to this and I should wait or can we bring it in now, but I can tell you what action the council took last night.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
But I just want to throw in something. We did meet, we did have a meeting with this council last December, December the 7th, I believe, 6th or 7th. And we discussed things and we did that. You know, we didn't follow through in terms of real, like a pack or something, setting up a pack like for the police station, you know, and so. And the attorney Monahan did explain some of the things that we had to look out for at that time. But I agree, there was a disconnect there.
And there's, and we deserve our share of the blame for that as council. We didn't do our job. Staff could have done more and we could have asked more of you.
Yes.
I remember that meeting well.
Yeah.
That was, I was asked at the last minute to chair it and I wasn't prepared to do that. And it was not a well done meeting and it was awkward. And yet again, apologize for that. Last night, Lauren Breithaupt, finance director, brought to us a measure that was approved by council. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
I just realized I was talking kind of loud, sorry.
Before you do that, are we moving to another point?
Yeah, happy to wait.
It's the next item.
Okay, I just wanted to.
Business, but do we have, do we want to, before we get too far away, do we? I made some notes on this, but it seems like the consensus is that it was just lack of clarity on the board's role, yeah.
One more thing on the annual report is that we did pass the 5% rate increase. I believe that was at the
April meeting, yeah.
I believe, so I think maybe that should be mentioned as well on the annual report.
That's a good addition.
Because, yeah, it shows that we did that to the voters, to citizens.
And how does that work for finalizing? Will you be updating the draft report that?
Yeah.
Together since you have some notes on it.
I'll make some, have Morgan make some corrections and additions and then send it out.
Great.
That sound good?
So that's a good addition, the 5% increase.
Yeah.
I feel like somewhere in here there should be a, there's 2023 council goal setting, but there should be a UAB goals for 2023. So.
I think that's what that's intended to be. Your list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I was interpreting it.
That's what we're looking for. Yeah. What do you want? Or what do you think we need?
Somewhere in there, though, one of those bullet points should be what is the role?
Yeah, and I think that
you have that.
That's, I think, captured in one of the challenges. And I think my drafting was maybe not clear. They have the lack of clarity regarding limitations on UAB members, and that's, I think, as to defined scope and role in connection with the
with advocacy for bond measures.
Yeah. I guess one thing I guess I'll look to you, Eric, a little bit. I mean, I know I'm going through this right now for Wes, trying to figure out what we're going to present to our advisory committee over the coming year and kind of trying to plan for that. So what don't we know about that you as Wes Lynn in the utility and engineering department, you know, what do you have for us that you're going to need from us this coming year too? I think that's a helpful place to start too, because then we can start to maybe even plan some agendas into the future for presentations and work that's coming that you need our input on. So I guess that's a question I had when we were making this that I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I was having this conversation the other day with Lance, and that as far as forward looking, it's been difficult to, you know, just take different advisory group and the transportation advisory group. So if you take streets, you know, we get a lot of calls, right, more frequently than any other. When's my road going to be paved? And we, several years ago, we had like a 3-year look ahead, you know, this year we're going to do these streets, and that all got kind of shuffled when we passed that bond in 2018. We did some bigger projects down in Main Street. Now we're working the next phase of that, and that's subject to change. And so there's a lot of things that are just always up in the air. And I was talking to Lance, I was like, we got to figure out, and I feel like we're always chasing our tail. I mean, if you're asking a little bit about us and our needs, Jeff, you know, we're constantly chasing our tail, I feel like. And you know, ordinarily, you know, I was telling Lance, we got to have like seasonal projects, you know, summers are road paving season, right? But prior to that, you know, like right now, we should have, if we were going to do a water line replacement, we should have had that out on the street already, ready to go into construction, say January or February. But that would have been, it would have been in design, you know, say August, September, or something like that. So we're a little bit out of kilter internally here, as far as we have all these projects lined up, but then things change. You know, again, streets project, but we've got 90% designed for that old river realignment, but now that's kind of hit a little bit of a roadblock as far as what to do there, and working with the church and so on. So again, not utility related, I apologize. I'm just trying to put a little light on Jeff's question. But yeah, as far as our needs, definitely, I totally agree. I wish we could have gotten going a year sooner on this master plan, because I think that would really help put some light on things. You know, we've been in the budget every couple of years, we've been carrying over that we're gonna, because the last master plan talked about a second reservoir over here at Bland, which is back at, what is it, Crestview and Bland there, where that newer subdivision is. And I don't see us ever doing that. So I'm always wondering why we keep carrying that money over. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done in order to kind of nail down these projects and what those are. But we are moving forward. I mean, it's slow. I don't really have anything for it.
Can I ask a question on the reservoir project? Is that because it's not needed, or because we have so many other higher priorities to just get
this? It's really not needed. I think at that time the modeling showed it was, but I think with the addition of our Bolden reservoir with more capacity there, talking to our water operations supervisor, I think that zone is one of the lower demand zones in the system. So it's not necessarily, I mean, we are short storage, so it wouldn't hurt, but I don't know that it's a priority project.
So to that point, Eric, knowing that we've got the water master plan being delivered over the next year, maybe it's worth capturing for us, and if there's any input you want from the utility advisory board as part of that,
the
water master plan, you know, are we going to be engaged throughout that process? When would we be engaged, and what input in what areas on that master plan would we be providing input on?
Yeah, I believe there's scope to have two meetings to them to come to the UAB twice to discuss projects at what level or milestone. I'm guessing probably 60 or 90, probably 60 for the first discussion.
Dean, thank you for that question. Eric, I presume we have a consultant doing the plan.
Yep.
And I presume they submitted a proposal.
Yeah.
And the proposal's probably got a timeline on it. Can we get the timeline to this body so they see all the steps in the sure. process and what the current projection is for what'll happen when?
Sure.
So that, and I would love this body's input on the steps. And even if we have two meetings scheduled with you, you might decide there's other stuff going on there that we would like input on. I welcome your feedback on that. So let's get them a timeline.
And that appreciate that, Todd. And the, you know, part of their process is going to be an input from the city. You know, in prioritizing projects, it's developing a set of criteria on how you prioritize those projects, and that kind of shapes how the capital improvement plan gets implemented. So if we have opportunity to provide input on criteria and what's going to be important for you know, for the city, I think that's probably a good that's a probably a good opportunity as well.
Yeah, I'll would that be something you prefer to have at the next meeting and we discuss it, or would it just send it out to the group via email? And
I would gather that I'm sure that, you know, Lance has a kind of list of burning needs.
Yeah.
I think that any input on what he and engineering see as, you know, these are projects that we need to get to ASAP and kind of identify reasons why, so we can kind of provide input as to what the city deems as criteria for an emergency project or a priority project. And then whether it's open for discussion or not, at least we can provide some input. I know that's a lot of the challenges we have in Milwaukee, where we have two different opposing priorities, and we're maintaining over here and engineering's like redesigning over here. So it's not waste money over here if you're just gonna tear it all out. I know that can be super frustrating for staff, and it's even probably more frustrating for residents too. And, you know, might help better kind of draw a picture for people as to, you know, we're trying to make the best possible decisions moving forward. Even if mistakes were made in the past, we're trying to put our best foot forward and make continual improvements where it makes sense.
Yeah, and to build on that statement too, the rationality there is to take some of the subjectivity element out of it, right? So you create the criteria, you develop a weighting based on that criteria in the evaluation, and then the scoring kind of falls out based on input, and there's the rationale on how you develop those priorities, and or there's this little bit of arm wrestling that happens between different groups, and sometimes it becomes counterproductive. But
all right, I can send that out.
I'm just looking at where we're at on the agenda. And the water master plan down the road, we'll have a presentation on that at the next meeting then, in terms of the guidelines and timeline where we can have input then.
If that's what you like, I can bring that. I can bring that timeline, and
I think that would be helpful in terms of setting up a meeting schedule for next year so that we can be planning to have a meeting. after there's a milestone in the
Yeah.
master plan process, so that we can get that update. We aren't meeting like 2 days before, you know, summer report is released. So yeah, we can maybe plan to have that at our first meeting and then try to build up meeting schedule in a way that makes sense tied to some of those milestones.
Councilman. Eric, you asked earlier whether folks would want it sent to them or just have it on an agenda. If you don't mind the suggestion, I say about if you could get the timeline to these folks ahead of time so they have time to process it so they can come to that meeting ready to make suggestions, that'd be cool.
Okay.
That sounds good. Okay. So then have we covered the annual report?
I was trying to move it to so Todd could go to, I know that.
Well, you leave annual report, if you're on, do you mind if I offer some feedback on what you have listed here under 2023 council goal setting?
Absolutely.
Were those bullets meant to be your goals for what you want to do?
I think we were just discussing that, and as I was understanding, or at least my understanding, I was viewing it as a sort of a joint UAP and joint council goal. But.
Well, if you don't mind the suggestion, I think I know what council is looking for. They want to know both your goals for what you want to do.
Yeah.
But also what you want to see the council do in relation to this body. One or the other, both. So looking at these three, if you don't mind me giving a response to it.
Yeah, sure.
I'm looking at the second one here, when you say consider capital project priorities from new water master plan and funding limitations for same. Based on the conversation I just heard you all say, it sounds like you're saying one of the things you want to do in 2023 is offer some specific meaningful feedback on the plan as it's developed. So I would make that one of your goals.
Okay.
We want to be a part of the plan development process. And I don't want to tell you what your goals are. I'm just here repeating what I heard said, and I just want to put it in language that I know that the council will look at and go, oh, they're saying they want to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good recommendation as far as being a little bit more clear in terms of what's a UAB goal versus a council goal.
And then your third one there, where you say analyzing possible rate increases. I don't know whether it'll happen in 2023, but based on what Jocelyn shared with us last night and Lance Cowan shared with us.
Lauren,
I'm sorry. Lauren Breithaupt, the finance director, and Lance Calvert, our chief engineer, based on what they shared with us tonight, it seems that we absolutely will go to voters for a rate increase, and it'll have to be a request of the voters because it'll be one over the $5 max we can do already.
The 5%.
5%, excuse me.
Yeah.
Sorry, Michael, it's 5%. Yeah. So when I'm looking at this third bullet here, word to tell you which, but it sounds like what you're getting at here is that you want to partner with the council in deciding what that increase is going to be and when and how we advocate for it.
Yeah. I'd say that's a fair reading. I mean, and the I think the subtext is, well, a carryover really from the conversation we're having around the general obligation bond. Like, let's not set ourselves up where we're only asking for this great amount that we need to do the 205 project when we know there is still a major funding shortfall.
Great. Yeah, I'm just in process that you might consider one of your goals being that you want to work directly with council this year on that decision. What rate increase when, and how do we bring it to the voters?
So
when council reads this, you know, they'll go, okay, they want to be a part of the water master plan. I see that here. They're telling me that they want to be a part of this decision about rate increase. That is, if that's what you want, that's the kind of direct thing that I think they'll recognize and go, okay, I see what this looks.
Well, I have to say, Todd, I like all of this putting words in our mouths, and I do think it is capturing the sentiment and capturing the goals that we're talking about. So I appreciate the recommendations.
So I would throw it out too, and I brought it up, but I would think that UAB also wants to support council on how, you know, the, you know, this can be, these increases will be messaged to, you know, to the city.
I don't want to get ahead of you, but it seems like this is, are we done with this goal setting, or maybe we need to modify a few of those bullets then? Because I know Todd has something to say about how it's going to be financed, what we're going to look at this year, so. And that, we can't do that completely without knowing what you're going to talk about, so we can't really do this yet, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's table the annual report and give the floor to Todd.
You good?
Yeah.
All this happened just last night, folks.
Yeah.
Lauren and Lance brought to us a suggestion for a full faith credit loan. From what I've learned, it's going to look very similar to a general obligation bond, only in the sense of we still have to do a bond issuance, which is going to cost us up to $200,000. There's still going to be interest to pay, which depending on the rates could be in the $3 to $4 million range. The only difference is how we're repaying the loan. You know, just as a GO bond is a loan, this is a loan too. You know, had the GO bond passed, then obviously we're paying back through property taxes. With this loan that we authorized last night, we'll be paying it back for the city. And that's going to be one of two things. That's either going to be existing revenues that we already have in the water fund, or that's going to be rate increases, period. But with the authorization we gave Lance and Lauren last night, they are going to go out for an issuance. It will be for $12.5 million. Now, if you recall, the original ask of the voters was for $17.5 million. When we discussed this last night, the distinction that Lance made was that 17.5 would have processed everything we know is coming, which is not only the Abernathy Bridge, but it's also water lines underneath West A and Broadway that we know we're going to have to address as well. They made the decision because of the uncertainty of those bridges and what will have to be done, that they wanted to only go out for an issuance for enough money to do just our water line underneath Abernathy Bridge. So that's why it's 12.5. Lauren is discussing right now the debt service, whether it be 20 year or 30 years, you might imagine. The further we go out, the more it costs us. No big surprise there. They're crunching numbers to see if we can afford a 20 year, because obviously that'll be a good savings for us over time. As Lance has shared in the email he shared with us and has reiterated, and I don't remember the numbers well enough and don't have them written down well to tell you folks, but to finance this full faith and credit bond, which is basically when someone gives us the money, we're guaranteeing we'll pay it back through funds we sit on right now, which means your water fund. In order to do this, we are significantly drawing back our maintenance schedule. And the way Lance and Lauren laid this out last night, you know, our typical water lines last in this 60 to 80 year range. They said, based on the commitment we made last night, that we could be on a 340 year schedule. That's replace lines. So you can do the math and go, man, it sounds like we're about 5 times off what we need to be. So clearly there's a need here. Now, with this issuance, I should also say, this is what did not get communicated to voters, it should have been, was a really thorough analysis by our legal team, which was reaffirmed last night, was that I respect and understand when people say ODOT should have done more for this. The truth is they don't have to win. Legally, it is 100% like completely on the city for that water line. And as much as we complained to them for 2 years, and boy, did we, but we have 20 years left in this line. And why are you forcing us to replace a line that's got 20 good years in it? You know, they said all the right things about being sympathetic, but in the end, we're replacing our bridge, you have to replace your line, you have to pay for it, every penny. There is no legal result to that. So a couple of the things for you to know. Number one, there is another loan that Lauren is looking at, Lauren Brighthout. That's for the federal government, and it's called a safe drinking water loan. They have twice as much money nationally requested for it now as they have. But she says we're good at ask as anybody, and that we'll be filing for that in March, but that's March. She and Lance felt that we cannot wait till then to see if maybe we get one of those loans, because we have fiscal responsibilities to adopt starting. And that we need to have money in place to do that. What Lauren explained is, if by chance we were able to get that loan or any other source of revenue coming down the line, what that's going to mean for us is this. Chances are, whoever gives us this full faith and credit loan, they will not be willing to give us an early payback, because the whole reason they're willing to issue it is because they know they're going to make so much interest over time. But she said, once we have taken this full faith and credit obligation, which we now have taken on as of last night, if we do find other money, that money can be applied to this particular project. And what that allows us to do is to take the $12.5 million in the full faith and credit loan that we've already gotten, allows us to now redirect some of that money to our existing water infrastructure need. So it is not an option to pay back early the loan, but finding other monies would allow us to redirect some of those monies we just committed to last night to some of our other needs. Now, one last thing, and then I'll take questions to the degree I can answer them, although I'm pretty much spilled what I know. But one other thing I brought up last night is we're going to be going after our lobbyist, Doug Riggs, and others to go to the legislature hat in hand. We've obviously done that already, folks. Yet please trust that we've been pressing to look under every rock, federal, state we can, to try to find money to pay for this thing. We have a different story now. The story is not pay for the water line. The story now is we are paying for the water line, but this is the dire consequences happening in our community. And so that's the story that we'll be taking to the legislature, hoping that we could potentially find some state money or some federal money that's processed through the state. And when the time comes, I volunteered last night, but obviously it's up to you as a body, but I'm hoping that this group, when the time comes, might be willing to be part of the voice of the community that goes to the legislature to advocate for what we need. Because it'll be one thing for a lobbyist or a city councilor and a city staff person to go, but when we have citizens go and say, this is the impact you're having on me and my community and my rates, it'll be powerful. So it's not in the end my place to obligate you to lobby, in the sense that that's what I'm asking and hoping you'll be willing to do. That's what I know.
Well, I really appreciate the update and understanding where we are. and I would say, to the extent that it's appropriate, and that it's within the scope of our UAE member role to be involved with the activities of the legislature to seek additional funding, and I certainly would be supportive of that.
If you decide as a body that you'd be willing and some might be involved in that case, and that's completely up to you, then I would encourage you to consider adding it as one of your goals. To say, partner with the council and partner with the city in advocating for additional funding to support our water line, just something kind of generic like that. That's up to you.
What are the options in terms of, you mentioned safe drinking water loan from the feds? What are some of the other things that we'd be advocating for, or we're trying to get?
Well, you know,
I
appreciate that. We had individuals, you know, that were opposed to the measure that were saying we need to go after the federal infrastructure money,
right?
Or we need to go after the federal Inflation Reduction Act money, and I appreciate them saying that. All I can tell you is we have. We've been all over our congressional delegation.
Yeah.
Schrader and then the Reamer a new one coming, and Leiden and Merkley, explaining this situation, asking them to advocate on behalf, asking them to help us direct through their staff. Who should we be talking to do this? And Doug Riggs, our lobbyist, is kind of our point person on that. But I can tell you we're looking and pressing. Other than those three, I'm not personally aware of state sources that appear state as opposed to federal money channeling through the state. That doesn't mean they don't exist. I just don't personally know.
I'm not certain either, but I'm pretty sure all of those programs are pretty defined criteria. And just because it's an infrastructure money doesn't mean, oh, this is infrastructure, we can have access to it. Mm-hmm. I know that's not a reality. And I think that's a big part of the message that people miss, as they hear it and they don't really understand it. And nobody explains it to them, they just assume that the way they're thinking is correct. Well, if it's infrastructure, we can.
And we have infrastructure. Right. They'll pay for
it. This is infrastructure issue, we can get it. Or to fully understand the responsibility of the city as to the replacement of this line. Think, well, it ODOT's doing the project, ODOT needs to pay for it. Understanding the agreement that we had with ODOT back in 1977 or 78, when we took responsibility of
the 60s.
Yeah. So
we took full responsibility.
Yeah. So I think if people missed out part of the message, then.
Okay, well, Todd, I do like that suggestion to include as a goal exploring, partnering with council to explore funding options.
I'm great. You're willing to do. Here's the numbers I was going to share. Lance estimated our water lines last 60 to 100 years, and he says right now, based on the obligation we've made to finance the Abernathy Bridge line replacement, that we're looking at a 340-year replacement schedule.
One follow-up question in thinking about like setting aside the alternative funding sources and thinking just about the revenue bond for the full faith and credit loan. Did Lauren share any analysis as far as what magnitude of a rate increase or different rate design options?
Yeah.
Might be available.
Yeah. Nothing specific on rate increase for us here at this time.
But I think the one meeting when she first kind of gave us an update on what the funds look like. But she was pretty aggressive. I'm not quoting this, but I'm pretty sure the first rate increase, in order just to cover the original estimated $9 million, was going to be like a 13.9% increase the first year, and then slightly scale back over what we currently have. But it was a pretty aggressive, ask that we thought that was not going to go over well with residents.
For some reason, I thought it was even more than that, but my memory is a little bit fuzzy on it. And I think based on what I understand about Westland's water rates compared to other jurisdictions, ours are still pretty low.
We are one of the lowest.
They are. Regions. Mm-hmm. That may not make voters go, oh, okay, but it's true. It won't hurt.
I think we are the lowest in this area. Quite a bit.
Okay, so it sounds like with respect to our annual report, Eric had some additions that he was going to add, and Morgan was going to.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to ask, given Todd's comments to the goal setting, do you want to wordsmith this and send it back to me?
And then
I could make the corrections that I was going to make, or I'll do whatever. I just was. Seemed like he was
put some ideas out there, so.
Yeah. I think I could, if you don't mind, I'll work off the revised version that you put together and then circulate to this group.
Okay.
Okay, so with that, I think we can probably wrap our discussion of the annual report unless there was anything else folks wanted to add. Is it summary? Okay, so we can move on to the capital project updates.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot there. I had a kind of a kickoff meeting again with was Murray Smith, who we awarded the contract to. They got bought out by a bigger firm called Consort. So I'm not sure if through that change and then staff and stuff, we got kind of not a lot of progress. I was like, hey, we've been at this a while. We need to get the ball rolling here. So had a meeting last month. We've got some GIS data, some as-built data that's been sent over to them so they can get moving. I don't have, I should have brought it on that schedule timeline that you all suggested, or I could share some dates on kind of our next milestone, but I'll send that out. So that's ongoing. We don't, again, we don't have any water. Nothing in the works at the moment. So as far as maintenance projects, we do have periodic breaks, but that's nothing.
To report about. Are they moving forward with Lima Falls Drive road construction? Is there any water related stuff that's going to be replaced there? Or they were kind of waiting for some of the 205 stuff, the bridge realignments before they go forward.
Yeah, so
feel the bridge coming this way.
So we had planned. So do you mean on that end, on like the
Well, I know it's starting at Fields Bridge, but it's going to work its way down to Highway 43.
So the main on one on Falls Drive, adjacent to the school and the park, that's up to date size. And there was a section in between Fields Bridge and Osman. From then on, it got some substandard pipe. We did get a RFFA grant to go from Osman to 16th, kind of complete that gap, and that was going to require some update water main replacement. I thought you were talking about the 10th Street.
Well, it's kind of like that whole, I mean, the previous presentation when they did, when Kittleson did their kind of walk through of each thing. I just didn't know if this stuff was going to affect those projects, because if there is any water main replacements, we don't have the money to do that now. So I was going to hold that up.
Yeah.
Or if there's going to be any updates in there.
There's nothing on Lima Falls Drive that was done on Dollar. That was on the school district to install. So there's nothing outstanding there. Okay. Yeah, so I don't have any other capital updates.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing. Yeah. I think our next agenda item then is any board discussion or announcements. I do now discussion, but it looks like we should be thinking about setting our first date for 2023. And I think, I guess, do folks feel strongly about meeting again right away in January versus starting in February?
Johnson, can I put someone on the table just briefly? Spent a lot of years in the Capitol building, and so I'm going to suggest some timing to you.
Sure.
If you determine that you want to play a role in advocating for some money to help pay for our water line, I would suggest there'll be 2 months when that likely would happen. Meaning 2 months in which it might be strategic for you to have a meeting kind of leading up to a potential role. The legislature won't start meeting till early February, and they'll spend a lot of time just getting themselves organized. And I don't think they'll have much to do in February. March, I'm guessing, would be a potential opportune time for a meeting, because we'd have some sense of what the city's strategy is by then. And then May could also be a significant time, only because a lot of funding decisions are not made until then. The legislature tends to wait around until the state economist revenue forecast in May, and then they do this sudden sprint to make all their revenue decisions based on that latest possible revenue forecast before they set their budget. So an early May meeting could be possible, because that would be the right strategic time to be setting you up for advocating for something there.
So we'll be having a special election in March, correct?
Yes.
And so by May, then we could do have an intact council.
Yes, that's true. And you will have a March election for sure for your council, and then you're now for certain going to have a May election to pick a mayor.
Wow. So are you kind of thinking?
I'm just putting that out there as food for thought.
No, it's all good.
When we might have a sense of what our possibilities are, I'm going to guess we'd be closer to early March than early February, because that the way that first month tends to go.
So if we want to do every other month, we just stick with the odd months, we'd need a meeting next month.
Unless you don't meet it.
Unless we don't need one next month, then we could start in March.
Although that timeline thing you were talking about might be kind of cool. Heading into 2023, knowing what the water master plan development schedule is, where you want to insert yourself.
Yeah, and we're on a program of meeting every, it's like the second Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So I guess with that in mind, does that timing sound right for March? I guess what I'm wondering is, might we have some idea of what's happening in February, even if it's not the right time to talk to the legislature.
Possibly.
I guess I wouldn't mind meeting in February and March. I think we aren't strictly on an every other monthly schedule. It's sort of a let's set it up as needed.
So we could skip January and just do February, March.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we don't let it go every other.
Yeah, and probably then every other, and we will maybe revisit when we have the schedule or the rough schedule for the master plan to see if there might be other months to add or drop.
Good point.
Going down to the legislature, excuse me, I should raise my hand. Going down to the legislature, when would that be approximate range?
Thank you.
Because you said May.
There's no way I can tell you.
I'm just saying outside.
But if
ballpark
you figure. Pinned me down and said, what's the month that would probably be the one you'd be playing a role, I would guess May.
Okay.
And the only reason they say that is because not many funding decisions are going to be made before then. Generally speaking.
We'd also have some foresight in terms of what's to be expected down the road, maybe in March or whatever. Have a good idea how we can start planning.
So just for awareness that February
is Valentine's Day.
I was going to say it's the state of Oregon's birthday.
And then, 1859.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yes.
That means that we can't have it that day. Holy cow, that is like. So March, huh?
Well, I guess if that change happens.
Why don't we do this? If I send that out, that timeline schedule, and something might pop up before March, maybe we do have a January.
Okay.
That makes sense.
If there's not, we can, we just have to do the Tuesdays that are, could work and shuffle that around if you don't know if it's available.
I don't know, to be honest. I know there's other advisory.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, there's transportation advisory. There's a lot of other advisory groups that do meet. So I think if we do it, could mix things up a little bit. So I can ask.
Tuesday, the 21st, that's open on my end of February.
February 21st.
Tentative. Say 21st or 22nd.
I think 21st. Tuesday, February 21st.
I think it would be.
Maybe if there's conflicts, just let us know. We'll think about a different date. We can probably connect that email.
I think if it's going to, whatever it's going to be, every other month, second Tuesday, third Tuesday, just. Obviously, there's stuff that comes up where we need to have an extra meeting or whatnot. That's fine too, but try to establish that pattern just so we know.
Yeah.
Bonus third Tuesdays aren't. Third Tuesday, they have, meeting official board meetings. Third Tuesday every month.
Oh, okay. So maybe that's not.
Yeah. That's not going to change for at least the next 2 years.
Okay. Maybe scratch the first one.
Anything else we didn't cover? I think we covered a lot. Anything, Dean or Jeff?
Nope, nothing to add.
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, no public comments, I take it, or sorry, any public comment?
I don't.
Okay.
One public comment for me. I want you all to know that on more than one occasion, I have bragged to the council about this body because I am very impressed with the level of expertise and the individuals with the talent and skills and background that you have on it. I want you all to know this is likely my last meeting with you. As you know, my term should have been done January 1 had we elected a council in November as we were supposed to. And according to our charter, I could stay on until the March election. But after careful consideration with my wife, we're retiring at the end of the school year. I'm a teacher at Westland High. I'm retiring at the end of the year. We're moving to North Carolina. And I decided I need some time to plan my life. So, we sold our house. I'm house sitting right now. And I bought a house in North Carolina all in the past 2 months. Don't ask me how that happened. It was not intentional. But I'm going to go ahead and resign as of the day I should have been done, which is January 1. And I'll leave it to the council to figure out what it is they want to do in my stead. So they can appoint someone to fill the position for 3 months on an interim basis, what they'll choose to do. They certainly have that capability to fill up for 3 months until they have. It's been my pleasure working with you. Thank you for serving us.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. I appreciate your comments and it's working with you.
You're the first to know, so don't advertise it. I haven't yet told council when I'm done. That decision was made last night.
Hey, Todd, thank you very much.
Oh, I know.
I can't believe you're teaching full time and.
This is a bit hard.
And you're teaching, you're doing cross country too, right?
The 4.5 hour council meeting was probably, all right.
It was a good set up.
I don't. All right. So we're still. Hearing or?
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
One second then.
Yeah, in favor of adjourning.
Aye.
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 Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
Good night, guys.
Where are you moving to go to Florida?
Wilmington?
I literally just got back from there last Monday.